Hi, this is Roy Worley. Welcome to the interview show that brings on guests from all walks of life. Yeah, it's here that they tell their stories and delve a little deeper into their lives to see what got them where they are. So grab a drink, have a seat, and relax, because this is The Leo Effect.
When was the last time a short movie shook your emotions to the core? When was the last time a short movie caused you to rethink everything you stood for? When was the last time a short movie made you proud to be an American? When was the last time you felt the emotion to stand up and cheer after a short movie? The new short movie, I've Got Your Six, written and directed by Bill Foster, one of the industry's newest and fastest climbing directors, will answer all of those questions. Rarely has there been so much packed into a short movie that when you leave, you'll feel more proud of our American military veterans. A movie that was cast only with American military veterans will have you on the edge of your seat, cheering for our veterans and what makes America great. I've Got Your Six will be hitting the film festival scene soon. Be prepared to drop what you're doing and go see this powerful movie when it comes to your area. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Leo Effects. Today, I am joined by a special guest. He's a music producer and a songwriter and vocalist and kind of a jack of all trades within the music world. And I'm pretty excited to talk to him. He's got something out that I haven't really talked about on the show before. And, you know, I kind of want to learn more about it. But, you know, without any further ado, I would like to introduce Ed Unger. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me on here.
Absolutely. It's my honor. I mean, you're doing some great work in Miami, and I'm pretty excited to talk about it, honestly.
I appreciate that. I'm excited to share.
Cool. So let's start out with, what is techno?
Great question. Oh my goodness, techno for me, techno is one of those words that it's a keyword for many people. So when you say techno, it means different things. So techno for me was in the 90s, going to raves and clubs, and that was my first experience with dance music. Is you know, it's different from going to a bar and looking, you know, most people go to look to hook up. People go to techno or raves. It was for the music, for the experience. It was a exploration of emotions. And then what's funny, because, you know, I've been in rock bands and, you know, I didn't listen to any techno or dance music before. And so people who are rock bands who don't listen to dance music think that everything that's electronic is techno.
Right.
So it's hilarious. In dance music world, a lot of people who are, you know, would get this would be like, so your music is techno, huh? You play that techno music, huh? And everybody who's around is kind of just chuckling. So, but, you know, it's really transformed into a lot of different subgenres. So, but techno in essence really is that dance music, that house, that EDM kind of sound, simply put, I guess.
All right, that's fair. And is the techno scene still pretty alive in Miami?
So yeah, you've got, it's a techno and a tech house and a progressive house, a future house, new disco. Those are primarily where techno is going to live. So you'll have all of those. So it's almost a subjective thing. You've got new techno, old techno. But primarily a lot of stuff just falls under the house or the electronic music or the EDM. So I'm not sure what year it was, but when EDM really came to the forefront, I think David Guetta put out a lot of records that really brought that to the forefront with pop music. So I think EDM got associated with techno and vice versa a lot there too. But yeah, in Miami, it's, you'll get a lot of that tech house, that techno, that mixed with a little bit of tribal, or, you know, a little bit of percussion. So it gets really fun.
All right. That's awesome. What would you classify your sound as?
So my sound is started to go towards the progressive house sound. What was very interesting is I started in rock bands, and I get into a little bit of industrial. one thing that was really cool, I got to remix one of the first few remixes I did was Nine Inch Nails. I won a remix contest in Atlanta. I got to meet him. It was like the first person that I really looked up to that I got to meet that I did a remix. It was really, really amazing. But man, I lost my train of thought there. Sorry. What was the question again?
I was just wondering what your sound is. Like, yes, how would you classify your sound?
So, you know, I started with that dark, edgy kind of influence, and that was really, really inspiring. That was a moment when that remix contest, I won that. It was like, wow, this is actually, like, I really want to do dance music, but wow, it's, you know, I won a contest. I met Trent Reznor. This is really cool. So it transitioned to more of a darker, you know, coming out of the, and then it came out of the rock band sound, and it went electronic and chill. And then it got more dancey into progressive house. And I was trying to do all of those things at once. I was trying to do acoustic, electronic, the darker sound, the lighter sound. And after a while, I did some collaboration, probably about four or five different collaborations, and it was all over the place. And wow. I finally realized, I was like, house music, I don't really know where it's going to land, but it's definitely going to land within house music. So the last releases that I've been putting out have been progressive house. There's some tracks I've worked on, a little future house inspired, and some chill house is sometimes what I DJ, but it's not really chill. It's more like a tropical house kind of sound. So, but progressive house and just house in general, those are the areas that I really like to stay within. I can just explore so many emotions and sounds with that, from dark to light, but it's just a really great place to express music, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever considered going back to your roots and doing like a saxophone and guitar?
Oh, yes, totally, totally. It's funny you mentioned that. Some of the gigs I was doing in Miami were we just do these DJ live events. So there's some gigs that I would take instrumental tracks of dance tracks or rock tracks or kind of remixes, and I would sing with those. So it wasn't karaoke because it was really a performance. And then there's other times I jam with a percussionist and play some guitar, and just it was the ability to incorporate all of it, the electronic music, the live elements. And honestly, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But one of my goals at some point I will accomplish is there's a lot of acoustic songs that I've put out on YouTube, and to actually produce tracks to play those acoustically and then incorporate that into a live DJ set. I would absolutely love to do that. It's definitely a work in progress. You know, now it's streaming season. So, you know, VJ and DJ and that type of performance art, if you will, is kind of taking forefront. So I might play with that a little bit more, but afterwards, absolutely. I would so enjoy to get playing and singing while DJing. Right. or even just acoustic and vocal, you know, keeping it simple and having that raw expression would be really fun to get back to too.
Yeah, that'd be absolutely amazing. Like, that'd be really cool to hear.
Yeah.
Well, you said you do DJ, like DJ live. Do you prefer doing live stuff over studio or vice versa? Or how's that work?
It's they're different worlds, different expressions. It's very funny because with DJing, I never planned to DJ. And I in some of those remix contests, one of the prizes was just a set of DJ gear. And I had it for a lot of years. I just never went to use it. And the percussion player I was doing actually acoustic and vocals down in Miami, and percussion player I was playing with, he's like, "Hey man, you DJ?" I was like, "Yeah, sure." You know, and I just got some tracks together and started DJing and making it work. And I found that for being in the studio and meticulously going over every track and every detail and changing melodies and making sure the mix is right and all these details, I just got to go play. So that transition to spending time into just playing and really getting into the crowd again, getting into seeing how people react to music, and then being able to listen to so much music, you know, because if you're playing in a band, or you can only learn so many songs or cover songs or only play so much original material according to how much you can write. So you don't get to see as much material in front of a crowd as opposed to DJing. So that really, it's really awesome because I've spent a lot of time in there, but here recently I've just been itching to get back into the studio. So I've got a lot of projects that I'm in between just finishing things up, but it's definitely, I like both worlds. I like the, you know, like the instant gratification of playing live DJing, But then there's just something about exploring emotions and that atmosphere of sound while in the studio too. So I don't, it's a tough toss up. Maybe it just depends on the mood I'm in, I guess.
Well, that's fair. And speaking of mood, like the energy of the crowd probably plays a large part in that as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It dictates. That's what's fun too, is because every room, every event, if it's a private event or if it's a club event or, you know, a corporate event sometimes, it's like sometimes a corporate event has got the same vibe as a club event. I wouldn't even think of it until I walk in the room and I see the people, you know, so it's that keeps that. That's fun. It's kind of exciting. It's instead of thinking so much, it's getting into those emotions and that expression. So, yeah, it's a different thing every time.
Have you ever done any festivals like Burning Man, EDC, Coachella, things like that?
I haven't. I have been to Burning Man some time back. So that was definitely an experience. Primarily DJing was just, it was something I didn't even plan. It's just, it's been a lot in Miami. A lot of, you know, some mansion parties, you know, some yacht parties on occasion. So it's beautiful scenery here. But getting on a bill like that, obviously, that would be a lot of fun.
That would be. I don't even know how you would go about getting on something like that. Like, do they reach out to you? Do you reach out to them? Like,
it's you know, it's just that I guess the ebb and flow, or that's just that onward journey of an artist or DJ career. It's just keeping with the music and meeting great people, and just it's, I don't know. I think earlier when I first started, I was more focused on like, oh, I got to get there, I got to get someplace. And now it's just like, all right, what am I going to do? You know, and then opportunities just keep coming from that. You know, I've been DJing a radio show, and it's just from hanging out with friends, and really good friends I've hung out with during the Winter Music Conference and Miami Music Week. And just like, hey, you know, we've got a spot. Would you be interested? And I'll be like, hell yeah. You know? And so I think it's just this, you know, I've in all the magazine articles, stories, interviews, podcasts I've heard of successful artists and producers, they're just doing what they enjoy, and, you know, the right people come along. And so that's kind of, it's almost like DJing too. You just don't know what's going to happen. It's fun, you know, but I really find the not having an expectation, not hung up on the results, keeps it fun. Cause I think there's times where I was hung up on the results and I just didn't like music anymore after that. So it's like, ugh, I don't want to feel that way.
Right. Yeah. I imagine that would not be good. Now, how do you personally create a song? Like, do you have certain sounds that are your go-tos, or do you experiment, like you're saying, you just try surprises and different stuff every time?
Dance music and then writing music on guitar or singing, it's different approaches. But a lot of times I'll just go into the software. I'll go into the software. I'll find a beat. I'll find a track. Usually I'm in a mood.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, there's something going on that I'll either be gritty or I'll be happy or I'll be inspired, and that will drive some of the sounds that I choose. So I'll start with the beat, and then a lot of times I like playing with bass lines and getting the foundation, and then the melodies will go from there. There's other, you know, there's times before where sometimes a melody would pop in my head. I'll record it, on my phone or something like that. And then when it comes to guitar, I think a lot of times writing with the guitar would be the chords. There'd be some kind of chord or some kind of different arrangement or structure that would just resonate in a certain way. And then, but I find one thing I found was interesting is, you know, there's times where I would just write lyrics. Cause I haven't, you know, I did an album some time back, and it took a lot of time. It took a lot out of me, and being able to do an album to that level and write, I just haven't been inspired to do it to that level. It's just one song here, one song there. But there was times where I would just write lyrics completely separate from music, and they would just so happen to fit certain music pieces that I would produce at different times. And then there's other times where I would actually just write to a track and just sing, and melodies would come and lyrics would, you know, the theme, I kind of feel out the theme. So it's really just play by play. I guess that's part of the fun, you know, the adventure in that. But I think for most artists, it's there's always that struggle of creative blocks, or, you know, am I blocked? Is something going to come? And there's a struggle. And it's like, there's never anything there's never such thing as a writer's block. It's usually just not having the time or being able to focus the energy or even to be emotionally open. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of personal growth in the journey I've found, which makes it cool. But sometimes it's like, hey, you know, that's a little, I don't want to get, you know, too deep with myself right now. So I'm not going to write, you know, so it's different seasons would happen like that too. So yeah, it's definitely an interesting journey.
Right. Well, talking about an interesting journey, I read that you had a life-changing event in Australia. Is that something that you'd be willing to talk about?
So I went to high school in St. Louis, and it was one of those places where, you know, somebody would step on my shoes and tell me that I stepped on their shoes, and then three or four people would surround me and want to fight me kind of thing would happen. And, you know, so what was interesting is when I went to Australia, I was there for 2 weeks. I actually went to play baseball, and I was in a band during that time. And when I go there 2 days later, the people, you know, you stayed with the people that you played against. So I stayed with this family. Turns out the family I stay with has these parties like I do at home. And, you know, I'm like 16, and, you know, you can drink at that age. And so I'm playing guitar, jamming like I'm at home, but I'm at 24 hours away, hanging out with people I never met before that feel like family. And there's just the community, that people are just so amazing. It was in Melbourne, Australia. And so it was great. And this one moment where, you know how you mess with somebody, you're like, oh, shut up, you stupid jerk or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, so I'm messing with somebody. We're in a room just hanging out, listening to some music. And they're like, shut up, you bloody American. And I was like, what? You know, I'm like 24 hours away from home, and I'm like, I could die right now, you know, or who knows, I could get beat up, you know. But it was just the context of, yeah, I'm an American, you know. And it was at 16 in high school. And then it was another incident where I got mixed up, and somebody was selling drugs. We went to a friend's house and somebody, I think, was selling drugs or something like that. We didn't know at the time. And one of the guys was paranoid, and he was like, he beat up the other guy. We ran out the house. You know, this is like a week after that. And so we didn't know if we were going to get cornered, if we were going to die or whatever. It was just really interesting, you know. And I come back home to St. Louis, and, you know, and literally an incident happened where somebody stepped on my shoes, and they told me that I stepped on their shoes, and they wanted to fight me. And I was just like, what the hell? Like, you know, like, seriously, like, I'm just, you know, because this was a time before Facebook, and you could contact people. And it was like, I'm never going to see these people again in my life. I'm never going to talk to them. I'm not going to video them. You know, there's no video or anything like that. It was just, I don't know. I don't know if any of that makes sense, but there was something that changed in me inside. Like you kind of like, why is somebody being so petty? Like, there's people across the world going through different things. And I don't know. It probably sounds simple or kind of commonplace now, but that really stretched my perspective, in the sense that, like, I think a lot of, you know, it's just easier younger being like, oh, it's just my world and this is how things are. But it really stretched me to being like a global minded, I guess. And just, you know, I really dove into music hardcore after that. I really, really got into the band and the music scene after that. And just, I think it was around that time, decided, like, I'm going to be doing music in some way, shape, or form for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Well, you know, so, when things like that happen, it definitely sucks. But when you look back at all the events that happen in our lives, it forges who we are in today. And so those events definitely, you know, forged you to be who you are. And I'm, for one, thanks to your music, am happy that you are the way you are.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
No problem. And that leads me to I kind of talked about it at the very beginning. That leads me to the part where I wanted to lead into the big, you know, the big reason that you're on the show today, something that I wanted to ask you about and something that I want the listeners to hear about and go check out. And that is your music feature called Tale of the Crying Wolf. Man, like, whoa. Okay. So I got to start with, first of all, what is a music feature?
Well, it really, it's, you know, it's a music feature. We've called it a music picture. We've called it a full-length music picture. It was something that was, it's like, what do we call this? So it's, the inspiration behind this started with music, and then it ended with visuals, but there was no vocals. And it just turned into a story piece that was around 30 minutes. It's like, what do you call this? It's like, it's not a movie. It's not a picture. Well, I guess it's a music picture, right? So that's really, it really became a full length music picture from that. And then the story really just of how to explain that journey really started to come from there. It's like the best explanation I got for you.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's fantastic. Like, what inspired you to do that? Was it like all the events in your life, or was this just like you were having a beer one day and said, oh man, I got this idea, I'm gonna create?
Well, it's wow, it wasn't one thing, and if I would have never anticipated this, but you know, it really started with it really started going back to the house. You know, I was like, I'm going to be involved in house music. I'm going to be involved in music production. I'm going to be involved in DJing. So let me set my parameters. Now let me look at my library. Like, what's all the tracks that I've produced? It's kind of like had a lot of really, really tough trials and challenges that really were changing pivotal moments for me happen around this time. This is a few years back. And I was just like, all right, it's time to go through my library and let's find what's good. Let's cut the rest out, and it's time to start fresh and just, you know, create, just, I don't know, just explore. And so with that, you know, this guy I've known at Winter Music Conference, Robert Kechter, you know, him and I started collaborating, and I've worked with Jason Klein out of Miami too. And we were all just hanging out at Winter Music Conference. And that's how I met Robert. And he's got a really great background, great perspective on different things. And I was just like, what do you think of these tracks, man? Are these just kind of like the last tracks I'm looking at? Are these worthwhile and investing in? And he's like, I think you got something here. And he's like, you know, what's different about these? There's a story here. And he's like, it isn't like one song or a single, like most people would move towards, but there's a body of work. And that really inspired me, because I had always heard before, you know, I've gotten like a lot of comments in different things that my music was always reminded people of movie soundtracks. And I really related to that. I always felt like a cinematic approach more as opposed to a pop structure, although I could get some of those elements, but that was like my natural thing. So I was like, let's do this. So I just, around that time, I didn't let him know, but I had started experimenting with the visual aspects and the story aspects of the tracks. And so it really, I remember walking around different parts of Miami, different beaches, and I would just go at night and I would listen to these tracks, and I was like, what is the song title to this track? What is the emotions of this song title? And it started from there. And then it went into creating you know, the story of the tracks, just the description of them. And then that really set the foundational bed for the visuals, you know. And then the visuals had a direction, and it came together really amazing, because I had no idea how from start to finish it would tell its own story, because they were all done individually. I didn't even plan to put them together. I thought it was just, I'm just going to make some videos for some tracks, maybe, you know, maybe that's how it combined. But then it turned into this DJ mix. And you know, the tale of the crying wolf. I don't remember some of the initial content, like the actual verbatim words that we decided and used and collaborated on. But it's really been this exploration of emotions and journeys of life, in the sense of, you know, just waking up to the obstacles and challenges, and you know, there's wolves in our life. Sometimes there's you know, things that are trying to entrap us. Maybe it's habits, maybe it's other people. And just, you know, how can we break through that? You know, how can I overcome the obstacles? And music was my outlet for that. And to tell a story. And I really looked at it as like, you know what, there's got to be some kind of story or something that people can connect with, because this isn't about me anymore. If I'm going to be making music for the rest of my life, like, how can I connect with other people and with the music? And the thing that really, you know, in the past, the thing that really inspired me was, in the past, a lot of the music, like the Beatles and some of the classics, they told stories where you could listen to it and hear it differently every time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the pop music today, it's like, even songwriters teach, you know, you want to know exactly what this song is about. Yeah. Like, there's no guesswork. Here's the hook, and you hear it 20 million times. So every time I hear that song, it's not really going to be different. It's going to be the same, and I just like it because how it makes me feel. And so I approached this one. It was like my own therapy to a certain degree when I made these tracks and the reflections and what they meant to me during the time period they were written. But it was also like, you know what? Let's set up this music picture to where it's, you know, a listener can come in and it's like, it's a safe place. Are you inspired? You know, are you inspired? Are you upset? Are you gritty? Are you happy? Like, what is that? And what are you really thinking? You know, and it really became, for me, it became a musical bed to just really connect with myself. And so that music picture and having the visual for that, you know, it's like, once it was finished, it was amazing, because then I went through it like I didn't even make it. It was so fun, you know. It was like, yeah. it was in the background. I'd watch it, like, just watch it like it was in the foreground, and then I'd vibe out with it, and it just, I'd have a different experience every time. So that's the story, I guess, of just the tale of the crying wolf from you know, I guess the quick version. That wasn't really so quick, but hey, you know, what can I say?
No, it was perfect. It's perfect. And it's absolutely phenomenal. I gotta tell you, like, the whole music picture, it was just, I watched it in the foreground and I loved it. And then I listened to the music in the background. Like, it's just, wow. Like, that's all I can say about that. Like, it's inspiring.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's great to hear. It's my hope. You know, if it inspires just one person, then it was all worth it. You know, this project to me was, well, it is the, you know, the foundational bed to a new start, you know, just a new start, turning over a new leaf and exploring, really, because the music was primarily done. There were some new tracks that I had that I added to this. You know, I had some new tracks. I had some tracks I did before. And it was just like a new leaf to turn over, if you will, for, wow, okay, it's not just music anymore. It's not enough to just make music anymore. It's not enough to just hand somebody, like, you can't even hand anybody a CD. You know, you can't even, you know, I mean, I listen to tapes and records. You can't hand any of that stuff. It's not enough to do music anymore. It's like, I was like, wow, I can tell stories. This is so cool. I can tell stories with music. Doesn't have to have lyrics. It can or it can't. You know, I can get a theme behind it. I can put pictures to it. And if that inspires just one person, wow, that's awesome. It's all worth it, you know. And even the mediums that we have available, from streaming to you know, Spotify, the phone, internet, and everything, it's just there's just so many more options. So I really wanted to bring something special and extra in that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, well done. You completed all those goals.
Thank you. Thank you. So it's good to hear.
Here in these last few minutes, I'd like to afford you the opportunity to let the listeners know, you know, what kind of social medias you've got that they can follow along.
Absolutely. EdUnger.com is the main website to reach me at. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. And the video is Tale of the Crying Wolf. The full feature music picture is on the website. It can also be purchased on Tidal and Apple Music. And I believe it's going to be on Amazon. I don't think it's arrived there yet. And the website's best place to reach out and connect and check out. A lot of the DJ mixes are there, and all my releases are there too. The radio shows, Mix 93 FM. So every week, Thursday at 12 PM Pacific and 3 PM Eastern, I've been doing a radio show there too. So all of that can be found on the website.
Sweet. Well, thanks a lot, Ed, for coming on the show and talking to me. It's actually been, you know, an honor and a pleasure to have you tell me about your life and all your inspirations and tell me like the nitty gritty of Tale of the Crying Wolf. I really appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. It's an honor. I'm just honored and privileged to share. And yeah, thank you for your feedback too. It's just, it's great to hear your inspiration and feedback from that journey too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're all, as creatives and artists, we're all in this together. We got to boost each other up and, you know, help each other out. And I think your song is just going to make so many people inspired and happy. So, you know, you're definitely doing good work out there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you to all the listeners who tuned in to check this out. Make sure to stick around for the next episode. We've got lots more good stuff coming. And make sure, for real, get over to wherever you can get your eyeballs on Tale of the Crying Wolf. You're going to want to see it, I promise you. And go to Ed's website. Make sure to connect. Go to all the social medias. This is going to be something that you're going to want to tag along with, I promise you. So thank you all very much for listening, and we'll see you all next time. Oh, now that was an awesome interview. Thanks so much for listening. You all are so great. And don't forget to head to Facebook, Insta, and Twitter and follow The Leo Effects. If you want to hear some comedy and ridiculous voices, check out Shattered Dungeons on YouTube and all other places podcasts can be heard. And you'll hear me voicing crazy characters, usually pretty terribly. So thank you so much. You all are the absolute best. And we will see you all on the next episode.